Hello, wanderers, explorers, and fellow adventurers, to the Mirror Project, where reflection meets adventure today. We are your hosts, Alexandra
and Christine,
and we are going to be your guides through the world of travel. Pack your virtual bags as we delve into another chapter of one of our favorite shared passions, traveling. But before we begin our travelogue extravaganza, let's hit a pause button for a moment. It's our three-month check-in, folks. How's everyone feeling? Are we still riding the podcast high or feeling like we've hit a mid-season slump? Let's dish out what we've loved, any standout moments or episodes that have had us grinning from ear to ear. And hey, if there's something we want to switch up, now's the time to spill the beans. What's on the chopping block or getting a makeover for the next leg of our journey? Christine, what are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts? I'm so far loving it. Aside from getting to see you so often and record these episodes, I have been loving the creative outlet of editing these together. I don't think we've addressed it, but I am our sound editor for this podcast. So that's been such a creative outlet for me. I would say there's been some growing pains figuring out how it's all working. This is my first time working on a podcast, so I'm learning a lot. And sometimes it doesn't come together as easily as I would have liked it to, but I'm still really enjoying it. I think my hope is that I continue to push myself to go deeper and become more vulnerable as we go on. I feel like we've been building a nice foundation, introducing ourselves nicely, but there's still so much more. And I keep trying to remind myself as I sit and reflect after we record, like, oh, next time I want to go just a little bit deeper, or, oh, I want to make a note of a point that I wish I had made. And if we circle back to this topic, I want to bring it up. So that's kind of how I've been feeling so far. What about you, Alexandra?
Well, it has been a journey. And I think we've briefly mentioned how we actually started a lot of this back in September, really planning out. So I'm loving that because, well, this is the second podcast I've worked on. This is the first and only one that I've done where both of us, we do everything. Yeah. So everything you see on Instagram or in all the business stuff, that's just us. So there have definitely been some growing pains, but I think it's really good because we do want this to flourish and expand and grow. And having, I think, that basis will really help us. I can definitely tell we've gotten much more comfortable talking into a mic to each other and including our audience when recording as we have progressed through the episodes. And I think we're starting and really finding our flow of how we want to kind of guide the conversations and kind of just the flow of things. So I definitely think we've both gotten more comfortable about prompting each other when we're like, oh, hey, let's keep the pace moving. And so I like that. But still allowing for flexibility for things to spontaneously come up. Let's see, any standout moments. So our listeners probably don't hear much of this, but I think at some point we will have to release a blooper reel because that will have me gritting ear to ear. Like, we'll just mess up and we just keep the words coming out or gibberish, or we try to say it again and again and we're like, ah, you know what? We've lost it. Let's just try something else. Yeah. It's been really fun when we've had guests on, so I'm hoping that we can really start to do that with some more frequency.
Me too. I love having another voice in the conversation, you know? Like, after a while, I'm like, I hate hearing my voice over and over again. But having guests on is just so fun. I know we have some coming up, so that'll be a nice bonus for me and for those listening. I think some of my favorite episodes we have done so far is taking it back to when we first launched our episode on sayings and mantras, and then also the episode was Am I Confident? I thought those two were tied together nicely, actually, and are like in some ways mirror images of each other. I think they touch on similar things. And so those are so far some of my favorite episodes we've done, but I also love having guests on. So I'm very excited for more of that to happen. How about you? Do you have a favorite?
A favorite so far? I don't know. there's been so many good moments and favorite moments in each episode. I think I enjoyed our book conversation because I'm just a huge bibliophile. So yeah. I just love to read. And so that was kind of fun. And I think, as we mentioned in that episode, it could have gone on for 5 hours.
Yeah, I feel like we barely scratched the surface of that topic.
So definitely something we'll come back to. And I think that's it, right? Like trying to remember that we don't have to shove everything into one conversation. It can be multiple. Like earlier, we were talking about how to become more vulnerable. It made me think of an image like of a budding flower or rose where it just like releases one petal at a time. And then over time it comes this big, beautiful open flower. And I'm like, okay, we just have to remember it's just peeling back, yeah. opening up the layers. I really liked the history lesson of St. Patrick's Day. So I know that we have on our schedule for 2024 one or two more episodes that are a bit more history based. So I'm really excited to kind of delve into the research of those and plan them.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Trying to think if there's anything on the chopping block. But before we get into that, I do want to say I crave to see more engagement back from our listeners. If I want them to send us ideas of what, I know we'll have a Q&A episode coming up sometime. I think this summer we'd planned one, but I crave that feedback and I want people to jump into our conversations, but I have a feeling it's going to take time. And as we've established, I'm somebody who's like, I want it all to be perfect and amazing right now. But Christine, is there anything you think we're going to cut back on or adjust for the next, I don't know, 3 months or so?
I think, I don't know if there's anything I want to say let's cut yet. I think I want to workshop some things and try out some different things. I think, I might want to insert more of these little segments like we're doing here, like this little check-in where we sort of see where, in the case of today's episode, it's how we're feeling 3 months into the podcast, which is crazy for me to even think we're 3 months in, but we are. But, doing that more often, and just before we dive into the main part of our conversation, just sort of have these nice check-ins maybe introduce some segments, come up with some fun things to add different elements to an episode. So those are things I have brewing in the back of my head. I don't know.
For which we would be taking recommendations for segments from our listeners.
Definitely. Those are, I think, a couple of things that have come to mind. I know when we were first coming up with topics and things, I was like, what if we did this? What if we did this? What if we did this? So I want to revisit some of those ideas and see how we might be able to incorporate that. But I also want to continue to grow our content on Instagram and our social, because right now it's a great place for us to sort of get the word out about the episodes we have coming out and different topics. But I kind of want to come up with content that's specific for our social media to also encourage engagement. That'll come in time. I want to think thoughtfully about what sort of content we want to put out there. So I'm not going to rush to do it, but that's on my mind and something I want to do.
And I would definitely say that we provide good balance for each other, because Christine will sometimes be like, I want to do all this and this. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What can we realistically do with that? And then I will go off into a thing. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And she'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Alexander, rein it back in. Okay, let's start here. So I think it's great, but we definitely let each other's fancies fly and kind of just totally brainstorm and throw out the wild ideas, and we go, okay, we're gonna file that away for later and bring it up as necessary. So I enjoy that part.
Yeah.
So, oh, when you were talking about the check-ins, it made me think of our last episode where we talked about, oh, we'll have to check in again about how we're doing with the commitments we made to bettering ourselves for the environment and all that. And it made me think of all the things we're like, oh, we're going to have to come back to that. Oh, we'll keep each other updated. So I definitely think that could be one of the segments of like, oh, hey, a check-in. Remember that thing we talked about in the Am I Confident episode? How are we doing with that? Or have we actually reduced plastics in our life? Or have we done something else environmentally friendly? So I definitely like the idea of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
All right. Ready to dive in there?
Yeah, I think I'll put this one last disclaimer. And we want to hear from you listening. give us your feedback. What are your thoughts so far on how the episodes are going? What are you liking the topics? Do you want, what do you want more of? What do you want less of? We want to know. So please engage with us on our socials or send us an email or comment on this episode. And we're just so grateful that you're here listening.
So after that little sojourn into the 3-month check-in, let us now buckle up because we're about to embark on a journey filled with tales, tips, and maybe a few travel mishaps. Let's dive in.
Before we dive into today's topic, like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform. Go ahead, pause, and do it now before you forget. Don't worry, we won't get started without you.
Okay, so Christine, to kick us off, let's talk about the wheres. Where have we been? Where do we want to go? Where would we go again? So do you want to start us off by telling us where you have traveled to already?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'm so excited that we're doing this episode. I love to travel. If I could, I would love to make that a job. But who knows? Maybe one day I will. But let's see.
I was about to say, is there anyone from a travel magazine listening? Because I think Christine would want to submit an application.
100%. But oh gosh, so where have I been? Well, I currently live and have grown up in the States, so been to a number of states here, but internationally I've gone to Poland, England, Italy, taken some family vacations down to Bermuda and Aruba, and more specifically cities that I've really loved visiting has been London, Rome, Florence. We stayed in the Chianti region of Italy, where Florence is one of the cities. I've been to Krakow in Poland, and that was a really interesting trip. It was a 2-week, essentially, I consider it a pilgrimage because it was not how I've ever traveled before. I went with my university for World Youth Day, and we stayed with host families and we stayed in like a hostel sort of accommodation. So it was very different to the travel I've experienced, but it was also so rewarding because I got to see parts of the world that I never, like, I am Polish. I have Polish heritage, but I never really have thought much about visiting the country of Poland. So it was a wonderful opportunity for me to visit. Krakow is a very vibrant city. I really enjoyed my time there, but I also got to visit Auschwitz, Birkenau, which was a very moving day for all of us who were there on the trip. You know, you learn about that in your history book, but actually seeing, being physically in that place, it has a different energy. You know, it was obviously very emotional, but I am so blessed that I've had that experience because it really put things into perspective and helped me think about things that I haven't necessarily taken the time to before. So that's one of the things I love about travel. It opens you up to those new experiences and different cultures and different people. So those are some of the places I've been. How about you, Alexandra? Where have you been and traveled?
So I've been to much fewer places so far than Christine, but I definitely have many plans to go more places. Countries that I've been to have obviously been the States, because that's where I live and grew up. We used to live in Southern California, so I've been down to Mexico because it was so close. Been to Canada, France, and Spain. And of those cities, I've really only been to La Paz in Mexico, Toronto, Niagara Falls, the Canadian side, Quebec, Montreal. So I really love Canada. It was so beautiful. And there's other places I would love to go in Canada and go back to the ones that I have been to. In France, I've been to twice on 2 separate, like, study abroad excursions. One was in high school and one was in college. So I've been through Paris, Toulouse, Nice, Nimes, Aix-en-Provence, Carcassonne, and would love to go back. I really enjoyed them, as well as Arles. And then in Spain, I went through Madrid and Barcelona. I can't remember if there were any other stops. So the one in high school, we went to France and Spain, and we started in Madrid and ended in Paris. And that was kind of beautiful. It touched on a lot. Got to see a lot of Gaudi works in Barcelona. So I loved that because I already had an interest in art history at the time, but I hadn't taken my AP art history class in senior year by then. So it further sparked my curiosity. In college, I went on a study abroad for I feel like it was something about Viking history. And so we went through the south of France, and that's when I went to Arles and Aix-en-Provence and Nîmes and Nice. I'm trying to think of where we landed.
That's really fascinating.
Might have landed. So we saw a lot of like museums and sites of like the Gallic people and Viking ships and I don't know what else you call them, longboats that were, it was a really great experience. And it was a beautiful balance of both educational, but then I think class time ended around 6 p.m. and we're like, all right, go free, have fun, just be on the bus, you know, by the next morning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, I'm trying to remember which city it was in, but I went to a Turkish bath. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And it was just, so I loved my time there and would definitely go back. It was great. So, okay. We've both hinted at where we'd want to go, but Christine, what is on your list, at least right now?
Well, I'll start with one that I'm actually going to be going to this year, but I've not been to yet, which is Ireland. I'm going to Ireland at the end of the summer. I think like the last week of August. That has been on my bucket list for a very long time. But other countries, you know, staying in that region, Scotland, Wales. I would love to go to Canada. I mean, that I feel like is one of the easiest countries to get to because it's so close. But let's see. Oh my gosh, my list is so long. I'm just going to rattle them off. Here we go. I definitely want to go to Iceland, the Netherlands, specifically Amsterdam. I have been in love with The Sound of Music ever since I was a little girl. So I have a big desire to go to Austria and go to Vienna and have my Sound of Music moment on the mountains and sing The Hills Are Alive, you know, have that moment. And then Greece, would love to have my Mamma Mia moment. The list goes on and on. You know, it's coming back to this side of the world, Mexico, Panama, Brazil, Argentina. I'd love to explore South America. I'd love to go all the way down to the far tip of Argentina and go to Patagonia and see the beautiful, mm-hmm. the beautiful scenery there. And actually, Alexandra and I are hoping to plan a trip for ourselves next year, I think. Mm-hmm. I turned 30 this year, so I was like, I want to go on a trip. Will you be my travel buddy? So,
and of course, I was like, absolutely.
100%. So we're planning a trip to hit Italy and France with the idea. The central idea was taking a train from Venice to Paris. And when once I saw mm-hmm. that, I was like, sold, because I've always wanted to go to Venice. I've been to Italy mm-hmm. before, as I just mentioned, but I've never been to Venice. I've had a love affair with Venice ever since I started learning about Italy and the culture and the language and obviously the food. And I've not been to Northern Italy. I've mostly stayed central. So Venice and Paris and France, you know, gosh, I feel like my list keeps going. You know, I'd love to experience Spain and in Africa. I've always wanted to go to Egypt, travel all the way down to South Africa. Like, oh gosh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if it is achievable, but my like long shot bucket list item is Singapore. I would love to go to Singapore. Mm. So there's many more I have not mentioned, but I'm going to let Alexandra share her travel bucket list now.
Well, and also that as ambitious as that list is, I see a note on our notes here that you want to also make it to all 50 states here. So diminish that goal
that's
either.
That's very true. I definitely want to, you know, travel more of the states. I've pretty much been all up and down the East Coast. I've been to California, but I haven't explored much of the West Coast yet. And there's all of, you know, all of Middle America. I'd really love to experience every state, go up to Alaska, go out to Hawaii. But yeah, I want to see more of this country I've lived in my whole life.
And as I'm looking at your list, I kind of feel like an idiot because I didn't mention that I've been to DC and Georgia, where I was born. I feel like that was a major oversight.
We're doing great.
So anyways, okay, so kind of sticking with the US first, I'd love to visit Arizona. People keep telling me that I would enjoy it. I'd like to see Colorado, definitely go back to California. I've heard a lot about Portland, Oregon, and I think that would be exciting to visit. I'd love to go back to Georgia. I was born in Macon, and I've been to Atlanta for a competition before, but I would really like to go to Savannah.
It's a fun
I've
city.
heard wonderful things about it, so I'd like to see that. I really enjoyed DC, so I would go back again. I'm trying to think. I know Christine would like me to go up to Newport, Rhode Island,
Yes.
so that is definitely on the
I love
list.
Newport. My family loves Newport.
I wouldn't mind seeing more of the Adirondacks, actually any of the Adirondacks in kind of New York area. So definitely some things I'd like to see in the States. I do have much less desire to see the central part of the States. I don't know why. It's just never been something I'm like, oh, I must go to Minnesota or I must go to Kansas. So maybe that'll change one day, but right now, not so much. Going back to Canada, I'd love to go to the British Columbia side and see Vancouver. I'm trying to think of maybe like Newfoundland area. So I'd like to explore more in Canada and obviously go back to the places I have been and do even more exploring there. I really enjoyed the Quebec province. Let's see, trying to get to my list here. All right, other countries. England, I would love to see London, Glastonbury, the Isle of Man, Manchester, Stonehenge, and the Salisbury Plain. I'd also love to go to Scotland, particularly mostly because they're the ones I know of, but Edinburgh and Glasgow, and really kind of explore from there. Love to see more of that. Ireland, obviously Dublin. I feel like if you don't go, you have to hit the major cities, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Cliffs of Dover are in Ireland, right? Or is that England?
I'll have to look it up. Hold on. Why don't you keep listing your, and I'll look it up.
I would like to hit Wales. Don't really know much about it. So definitely the whole British Isles there. And kind of moving more onto mainland Europe, I'm thinking I'd love to go back to Spain, maybe visit some of the Basque region, maybe Portugal too. Going back to France, I'd love to maybe visit Burgundy and other regions that I have not been to. Obviously going back to ones that I have because they were just so beautiful and I'd love to explore more now as like a later 20s, an adult versus when I was a teenager. And then go ahead.
No, yeah, I think you said the Cliffs of Dover, right? That is in, that's a region of the English coastline facing the Strait of Dover in France.
Oh, I was on the wrong side of the island there. Whoops. But anyways, I'd like to see more of Ireland. Moving on to mainland, kind of Italy. I'd love to see, I know Christine's been to Rome. I'd love to see the Vatican, Florence, Sicily, Milan, Pisa. So many places that I studied through my degrees in art history or that I would like to see in person. So I think a lot of my travel will be driven by like, I want to see where this was and where this was painted or, you know, where this was carved. And then obviously we talked about it. Venice is on the bucket list there. So that will be checked off in 2025. Greece, I'd love to visit Athens, Santorini, Olympia, Delphi, Crete, so much art and mythology was produced there. I'd love to see the Acropolis and an Acropolis? The Necropolis. Sorry, mixing up all my terms here today. I'd like to go visit Prague in the Czech Republic, Amsterdam in the Netherlands, Germany. I haven't really, that's a lie. I have been to Frankfurt only in the airport.
Same,
So I would
same.
like to actually go visit Berlin, Munich, Cologne, maybe actually see Frankfurt, not from the airport. That would be cool. And in Iceland, I'd really like to go to the capital of Reykjavik. And looking at some of Christine's lists, it brought up some things that I really like to go to Turkey. And I love Turkish food, and I feel like it'd just be so fun to go see and explore culture. Egypt, I'd love to go. I've always felt a draw towards Egypt, but you know, with the way the world is right now, not sure that I would go today. Yeah, I feel like I'm a more like northern kind of person. I feel like once I start to get south of the equator, I'm like, I kind of have this thing of like, it's gonna be too hot.
Well, if you go all the way down, it'll be cold again.
Go back to cold. Yeah, unfortunately, Antarctica has not been on my bucket list, and I don't know that I will make it. So I'm trying to think if there's really any other place that I've been dreaming to go from as a child.
I neglected to mention, but Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, as I mentioned, have been up and down the East Coast, have been to a smattering of other states, but I'd love to, fun fact, was born in Florida. but I'd love to go down to the Florida Keys. I would love to go. There's so many beautiful natural wonders here in the States. I'd love to go to Yosemite and road trip down from Washington State into Northern California and go see the Redwoods and the Grand Canyon and go up to Arcadia National Park in Maine. So there's all these cities I want to go for the culture, for the people, for, you know, the food, but there's also the beautiful nature wonders that I want to experience, not just in the States, also abroad.
Okay, so I know that we've both briefly touched on where we would go again, but top five, where you would absolutely travel again.
Okay, well, my number one will probably be Rome. I absolutely love the city of Rome. I've been 2 times. I'm hoping to bring Alexandra next year. We do a little pit stop in Rome. So definitely would love to go back to Rome. England, I'd love to go back to London. Let's see. New Orleans, we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. We took a trip down to New Orleans a few years back. That city is so fun. I'd love to go in October or like the fall time and experience the change of seasons down there. Charleston, South Carolina is a fun city. It kind of gives Newport vibes, New Orleans vibes. It's like a nice mash of the two in my mind, at least. Newport always. As I emphatically proclaimed earlier, my family loves Newport. I mean, it's not a year doesn't go by without us having at least one stop in Newport. We love it. Boston, my sister went to school there and has been living there ever since. Boston's such a fun city. I feel like there's so much I still have yet to experience from Boston. DC, I've only been once and it's been maybe 13 years since I've been. So I'm dying to go back and experience it as an adult. I went, I think when I was in 7th or 8th grade, it was like a people-to-people ambassador program. I don't know if you've ever heard of that organization, but they do these programs all over the world, and you get recommended by your teacher, and that I was recommended for the one down in DC. So my sister Nicole and I did that. So I'd love to go back and experience DC as an adult, but let me think. You mentioned the Adirondacks. My family has taken some lovely trips up to Lake George, doing whitewater rafting on the Upper Hudson River. And it's so beautiful up there. And I'll wrap it up here. Nashville, my sister just moved. Well, not just. She's almost a year out there since graduating from college. So I spent some time there last summer. Nashville's such a fun city. The music, the food, the people. It's so fun. And then we last summer took a little trip out to the Outer Banks, and that was so much fun. Duck is such a beautiful area.
I was just thinking of Duck,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite stops on the trip, was going up to Duck. So those are just a couple. There's, I'm sure, more that I'll kick myself for not mentioning later, but yeah.
So as I've mentioned, definitely a few places I would go back to, and I'm probably going to forget some, but big ones I'd love to go back to. Huntington Beach, where I spent a lot of time growing up in California, San Francisco in California, and then New Orleans, Louisiana, always will always be someplace I want to return to. I felt so rejuvenated there. I love New York City, so that will always be a go-to. Mm-hmm. And I've only been to DC once, but I cannot wait to go back again. So definitely to go see all the museums, but to walk around. I really enjoyed the Georgetown area. So I'm excited for that. I'm trying to think of any other places in the States before I forget. No, I think I've covered it. Of like the must go back to. And then moving up to Canada, I would love to go back to Montreal and then Old Quebec. I'd love to see and explore more of that. I think of the places, obviously I would probably want to spend more time in Toronto. I think I've only really mostly passed through Toronto, so actually spending time in there. Going back to France, Paris, obviously. I feel like I could explore that forever. I only got like 2 hours in the Louvre, and a good portion of that was going with a friend, and we were trying to find the restroom. So unfortunately I did not spend a whole lot of time in the museum, and I would love to. So, and just walking around the city was so nice, like down the Champs-Élysées and everything to kind of, I think we really only spent time in a couple of the demarcations of the city, and I'd love to kind of maybe go to more of the outer ones because I don't think the time I've been there really explored. Back to Toulouse, and I think it's nicknamed the Red Brick City because there's so much red brick, really good food there. I'd go back to Nice, which is on the south of France, and in Spain, I would definitely go back to Barcelona because I'd love to see more of Gaudi's work. I think when I was there, there was not construction, but there was so much scaffolding outside of the Sagrada de Famille, the church he designed, because they were cleaning a lot of the sculpture he'd put on the outside. So I'd actually like to go see that without the scaffolding and see it in all its beauty. So those are my must go back to again so far.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we just gotta start booking those trips, right? I was thinking about such great advice I was given is set that challenge for yourself where you try and book 2 adventures every year, whether that be a trip abroad or staying local, exploring your own community and being a tourist in your own town. You know, that's some ways to fill that desire for travel and adventures. So why don't we now jump into our next topic on travel tips, what lessons we have learned. So Alexandra, why don't you kick us off? What sort of things come to mind?
Okay, so lessons learned. I feel like a lot of it comes down to packing. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I have luckily not personally learned, but have learned from, is to always pack an extra, particularly if you're not just going like an out and back trip, or you're going to go for a few days or going abroad, pack a backup outfit, a second outfit in your carry-on, like your must need toiletries. And I would actually pack a couple extra pairs of underwear and socks because you just never know. I'm thinking if your luggage gets lost or is delayed and is on another flight, so you'd have to go back and get it, always having kind of an extra pair of something to change into makes me feel good. Because I sometimes when I get off a plane, even if I've, you know, showered and looked great beforehand, you get off and you're like, I feel kind of like sticky.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just don't feel good. So that is, I think, one of the things. And I know that Christine and I both have a habit of deciding what we want to pack and kind of making lists. So don't forget things like chargers or shoes. You know, you don't want to get there and go, oh, hey, I don't have my sneakers because we're doing a lot of walking. And so I must now walk in heels. Mm-hmm. That would be so uncomfortable for a whole day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge thing. And I know Christine has some thoughts about travel size stuff.
Yeah.
And packing cubes. So what do you recommend the use for those?
Well, my advice is today, especially, I feel like if you walk into a Sephora, your favorite brands have travel size of everything. So my tip is, you know, invest in the travel size option, and then going forward, just refill those containers with the products that you're already using. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I find like it's sucky when you are traveling with products that you don't use and just because they're travel size. Mm-hmm. And those products, you know, most like your go-to products most likely are in a travel size. So get yourself the travel size of your favorite moisturizer or SPF or things like that.
Or invest in like good travel size containers that you can put your own stuff in, which is nice too.
That's true. And then packing cubes save me every time. I try not to overpack, but you know, sometimes it happens. But travel cubes, you know, help compress and keep everything compartmentalized. And the thing I hate most about traveling is for my luggage to be unorganized and disheveled and there be no order, because then, you know, my mind's already dealing with the uncertainty of what travel can do.
I have one kind of in this, coming back to the socks and like underwear, packing those things that are easily washable in a sink. Because I'm thinking if you're going on a long trip and maybe you don't have access to a washer and dryer either in your hotel or a house that you're staying at, and you may not want to go spend the time at a laundromat, that's totally fine. Having something you can wash in the sink is helpful. So yeah, packing maybe like baby soap that you can clean things and they dry pretty easily.
Yeah.
You made me think of that because I think, Christine, you had sent me a video of, it was like some girls on a trip and they were gone for 20 days or something. And how many pairs of underwear did you bring? And someone's like, I brought 28. And someone's like, I brought 19. And someone's like, I brought 7. And she's like, what were you hoping for? He's like, that's living a little dangerously. So I think I'm definitely one who falls into the more packing of the like undergarment essentials.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point about lists, I've gotten to be this sort of like anal when it comes to I make a packing list. I write down everything, every little thing. I swear I have significantly reduced the times of me forgetting something because I don't ignore putting things on the list, because if you don't, you'll most likely forget something. But mm-hmm. also planning out my outfits, just so like I don't have to think about that when I'm traveling. I've already thought mm-hmm. out like, oh, I'm gonna, and it doesn't have to be days of the week, but at least you have outfits together to know that you don't have to worry about that, and it's already taken mm-hmm. care of, because you only have so much room in your suitcase. So putting the forethought makes it all the more easier. How about some travel tips? Mm-hmm. I know I am so glad my dad recommended us getting this TSA PreCheck. If you can, mm-hmm. is in my mind a lifesaver. It's certainly a time saver, but yeah, if you haven't considered it, I'd say take the time to. It, there is a little bit of an upfront cost to it, but I think like once you do, it pays itself over time, because I think it's good for mm-hmm. I don't know, 3 years, maybe more than that.
I haven't had to re-up mine.
I just did last year, so. But they do a background check. They take your, like, you know, they want to make sure you're not a suspicious character. But yeah, TSA PreCheck.
It made me think, with my new name, I probably will have to do it for
you. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Alexandra, do you have any other?
Yeah, we have a note here about travel insurance, which is kind of good if you're thinking about larger trips, like out of your country, or, you know, going for a while. It's definitely worth it, I think, to do that for tickets and for airlines. I don't know that you can do it for hotels, but if you're going to do outdoor excursions and they offer some sort of travel insurance, like a rain out refund or something, or a reschedule, I always think that's kind of valuable, because Christy mentioned our trip to the Outer Banks last summer, and we were going to go see a reenactment or a production of something, and it was outside. And I cannot for the life of me remember what it was, but it was starting to rain, and not just rain, but like pour. So that was one of those things where we had the insurance on the ticket, and I think we got a full refund. So that was nice. Would definitely recommend that for longer things, and having an itinerary of what you're going to do, like a copy of your important papers in your carry-on. Christine, I know, had mentioned things like getting the contact info for the local embassy of wherever you're going, and emergency services, just not because you think you'll need them, but in case yeah. you do. And I feel like it's one of those things, like, if you know it, if you plan, then you'll never mm-hmm. need it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think a big thing is leaving room in your itinerary, your schedule for wherever you're going, for spontaneity. And I think I really learned that lesson when Christine and I went down to New Orleans, because I'm so much, I think when we talked about the trip, I'm somebody who loves to plan, and I love doing all of the, you know, tours and the museum trips and everything. And Christine was like, well, we have to leave time for some flexibility. So I think we planned for a 3-day weekend, 3 or 4 things that we said we were going to do, and we had booked times or reservations. And then the rest, we kind of just left up to walking around and seeing what happened, which was, I thought it was amazing, and I had a really good time doing that. Yeah. So it has now taught me to leave space in my schedule for spontaneity.
Yeah. And another thing, I was doing a little research into all, you know, what are the travel tips? What's traveling like in 2024? And, you know, leaving room for spontaneity may in the long run save your wallet a little bit, because if you do the upfront costs of all these excursions and things, once you're there and you're taking the time to discover things that you might not otherwise have, may save you some money in the long run. So yes, leaving room for spontaneity. I am a big proponent of that. A couple of other things to consider while you're looking to travel more. If price is a factor and you are trying to figure out how you're going to swing traveling, let ticket prices choose your destination. Don't get locked in on a place. See what your budget is, see what's in that budget. And then if that's a place you've never thought about going, just give it a go and see where that takes you. Also, I, mm-hmm. you know, a few, gosh, has it been a month or two since I came? I forget. When was the last time I saw you?
March.
Okay. So just about a month ago, I went down to visit Alexandra and her mom, and I, you know, used my credit card points to book the flight. So using points and miles to help save money, but also, you know, feed that desire for travel are some of my big, mm-hmm. my big tips. And then one I haven't done yet, but I want to do more is doing like a house exchange, or there's these sites where depending on like you can pick the location you're traveling to and people, because I feel like this happens a lot in Europe, people can travel for weeks at a time and they're looking for people to either house it or watch their pets while they're away, and you literally are given free accommodation for mm-hmm. for your time there to simply watch someone's home or watch someone's cat. So I think that's a really, really clever way.
And I think there's an added benefit to that, right? Because then you can go shopping for, you know, what I would call grocery shopping here in the States for food and bring it back to where you're staying and prepare meals. So you might be saving some costs and exploring the foods that they have there. So that's kind of another benefit. So you're not always having to spend money on every single meal out, or mm-hmm. even if breakfast is not included in your hotel accommodations. The other thing that I would say is if you like, are someone okay with long layovers, maybe even extending it longer than you think. Sometimes there's an option that you could like leave if you have enough time, leave the airport, go explore wherever your layover is, and then come back and still check in. I don't think you can grab your luggage, but if you've checked it,
yeah,
just leave it and then come back. So that's always an option. Or hey, if you don't mind airports, sometimes I actually don't mind airports. Give yourself a little extra time to sit down, stretch your legs, particularly if you're going to have another long leg of a flight coming up. Have a meal that's not in the air. But yeah. And what about you, Kristen? Do you have any other last tips before we move on?
I think the last one, I haven't figured out how to perfect this, but something I've seen a lot on TikTok and Instagram are this idea of traveling during shoulder seasons and maximizing your PTO. So shoulder seasons, I was researching, it's traveling to an area not during the high season or off season. There's a period of time in between where, you know, you could still get the, maybe if you're traveling to somewhere nice and it's not the high season, but it's not quite the off season where maybe the weather isn't as nice, but traveling during that time of shoulder season, but then also mm-hmm. maximizing your PTO. So I've seen this a lot on TikTok and Instagram, where choosing when you take your PTO and sort of bookending like holidays or you know, mm-hmm. around Christmas and New Year's, like if your job's already giving you time off, adding your PTO to around that time so you are off even longer. You know, I haven't figured out how to perfect that yet, but I feel like that's a really clever way to maximize that time and then also give you time to travel to places and actually feel like you're able to spend time in them. Because I feel like sometimes traveling abroad for 5 days feels too short to me. But, and then, you know, this last point, if you're able to work remotely, if your job allows, then you can work from anywhere. You can travel to Spain and work remotely. Or
I was actually just talking to my mother and family friends from California. Their son was younger than I, so he was going through undergraduate during COVID. And I guess some of his friends decided to pack their bags, go to Europe. And since all classes were online or you just had to check in, they ended up doing like 6 months in Europe, just moving around and spending time in different cities. And they would just, you know, hop onto class when they needed to. And I was wow. like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? Because I'm guessing it probably was not any more expensive than paying for room and board for a term. So anyways, I thought that was cool.
That's pretty epic.
And then the other thing I would say is, like, if you have a long leg of like a long flight to somewhere, maybe using the evening hours to try and get there so you can, if you can sleep on a plane, then you're using that and maybe get a little rest before and then hit the ground running to what you would like to do when, you know, you land and it's hopefully daylight.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
So
that's something I'm keeping in mind as we start thinking about our trip for next year. So we'll have to, maybe we'll share our, as we make plans, we'll share our process.
And that might be fun. Maybe we'll do a podcast abroad.
That would be cool.
An episode on the road. But since Christine, you definitely have your finger more on the pulse of social media, who are some, do you have any travel influencers or accounts that you like to follow because of the advice that they give or destinations they recommend?
Yeah. So I'll start with this one because my friend Tori introduced me to this. I'm not necessarily a cruise person. Honestly, mm-hmm. the idea of getting on a massive cruise ship is probably my nightmare and is not how I want to travel. But there is one cruise line that I would consider traveling with, and that's Viking Cruises. And I love, if you're looking for some inspiration, whoever runs their social media, they do a good job because not only is it scenically beautiful, but their accommodations are what I would want out of a cruise experience. They're smaller, and because they're smaller, they're able to get into areas that those massive cruise ships aren't able to go into. So I would say check out Viking Cruises if you're interested in doing a cruise. They do some really clever trips, like through Europe and you know, all over the world. But I would say check out Viking Cruises. And then I recently came across this girl. Her name's Maddie Smith. Her handle is On the Move with Mad. And she has this awesome series called Out and Back. She lives in DC, and she does these mini trips where she travels to a location for a day, for just one day, whether that's she takes a plane or she takes a train or she drives, and you basically follow along on day in the life essentially of her traveling to all these different locations. And I think that's so clever. It's like, if you're able to travel like that, I'd say give it a try. It's definitely a way to feed that desire, that wanderlust, and to see parts of where you live that you might not otherwise get to see. So
I think you sent me one of her videos and they went down to Florida for a day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you know,
yeah.
I just been kind of thinking maybe Christina, you and I should try and do that, like to go to Savannah or somewhere else that we both want to hit and just go, hey, let's meet here.
Yeah, totally. I would definitely, it's just rethinking how it's a different take on travel that I don't think a lot of people consider. It's like you can do a day trip and it be a travel experience, which I think is so approachable, I think, for people mm-hmm. who might not be able to, one, commit or maybe afford to do a week-long travel vacation. So check her out. I really like her a lot. And then the last one, I found this group called Well and Good on Instagram a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they've since grown their brand. And they also have an account called Well and Good Travels, which if you're looking for more inspiration, I'd say check them out. They've got some good recommendations.
Very nice.
Yeah, so those are just a couple that have come to mind. There are many out there, but I would say, yeah, those are my top three.
All right. So if any of our listeners, do you have any people or accounts that you follow with great advice or cool trip ideas, definitely give us a shout and let us know, because we would love to share that information as well. All right, moving into our last section for today. Christine, if you or I or we were to move abroad, why haven't we yet? What's stopping us?
Well, actually, I've considered this a lot within the last year, I would say. When I left my last job, I definitely was like, maybe I'll just move abroad and work abroad. So it's definitely not off the table. It's something I would love to do. Why haven't I, or what's stopping? I would say it's, I don't know if it's just because we're here in the States. It's not as easy of a process if I was already living in Europe, or I don't know. What do you think? I would love to do it, but yeah, it's daunting.
I was thinking that too, like some of the paperwork that you'd have to get in line to do that, and or finding a job to support you over there. And, you know, that's kind of the difference, right? Are you going to go and find a job? Are you going to find a job there and then go? Or do you have a job here that you can be, you know, basically located in another part of the world at a different right. office? And I think some of that might ease up some of the paperwork process, because the company might then help you with your visa application or allow you to apply for a visa to live and work abroad. So I definitely think that is a bit daunting. I don't think it's impossible. No, it just people do it. Right now, that thinking about it causes me a major amount of stress of just like, oh my gosh, the paperwork. And having just been through a name change, I'm like, I don't know that I can just, okay, no more paperwork for a little while. Please no more paperwork.
You do so much already, friend.
But like Christine, it's not off the table in terms of like, I would love to do it. And I think some of what holds me back is a little bit of fear and insecurity of like, what if it doesn't work out? Knowing that I can come back, you know, and make it work. But like, I'm not somebody who loves to fail at doing things. So I'm trying not to let that stop me from trying. But yeah, it's like, what if I make it there and I don't like it? I'm somebody who is not so great with the build up to change, but then once change happens, I'm like, ah, all right, fine, I'm here. Might as well. Yeah. So
you get dragged kicking and screaming. But once it's there, you're fine.
Yeah, then I'm like, oh, fine. Okay, here. What was all the fuss about? So yeah, I think it's something I'd also want to do with my person. Not that it wouldn't be cool to live in a different country on my own, but I would want to go, I think, with either a friend or a romantic partner, as we've talked about in the show, that I would like to meet him soon. You know, hey, universe, if you would like to plot me in his path, that'd be great. But to have somebody to also build an experience with, I think would be kind of cool. Yeah,
I agree. I think that's something that holds me back too. Not because I feel like I need to travel with someone, but that's really putting me out of my comfort zone. And
it's like a touchstone.
Plopping me in a place where I don't know anybody, and I have, you know, I'm learning a new job or a new culture.
Potentially a new language.
Yeah, a new language. So I won't say that's holding me back and will keep me from doing it, but that's definitely a factor for me that I've sort of have to push myself past. So
and I think part of it too is the expense, right?
Sure.
The expense of moving, because even to move within the same state here, it can be expensive. Mm-hmm. So the thought of moving not only abroad, but getting your stuff there, or having to buy stuff to furnish an apartment or a living space, the cost of just traveling there. I mean, I think that can also be very daunting for me.
Which is why if you find a job that
might help with moving,
will help with relocation, or you know, setting you up in a furnished apartment, like things like that. That's a really lucky situation to find yourself in. So I understand that that's not the case for everybody, but you know, it's a beautiful thing to think about in theory. So making it a reality would be wonderful, but we'll see. Yeah.
So, okay. Pick of your places. The world is your oyster. If you could live abroad and move abroad, where would you go?
So we've talked about this. I desperately wish I was somebody who could pick up languages easily. So I feel at this point in my life, I'd have to be in an English-speaking country just because I wish I could pick up languages more easily. But if that wasn't a factor, I'd probably live in Italy. Honestly, I'm currently practicing my Italian again. You know, I think the key to, you know, becoming fluent in any language is immersing yourself in it and having conversations in that language.
So, and consistency in use.
Exactly. So I would love to live in Italy. I would say finding a post in a European country, just so then I would be able to easily travel to different countries. Mm-hmm. So whether that's England, or I guess England would probably be the main one, because one, I would be able to understand the language easily, and I could easily travel throughout all of Europe. But I think the dream would be Italy for me.
Very cool.
What about you?
Similar for practicality purposes. I think I would, if going solely on practicality, I'd probably pick an English-speaking country. So either like England or Scotland or something kind of in the British Isles. Also to the point that you made, because it would be much easier to travel to other European countries, which is where I want to do a lot of my traveling. So I'm sure in terms of time and expense, it is much simpler to travel from England as compared to coming from the States. A little bit on the practicality side, but also because I would want to, Canada. I'd love to live in the Quebec region. So where they speak more, I think predominantly French, but there's also a lot of English speaking. So I could practice French, even though it'd be more Quebecois type French than like Parisian French. And so I think they use slightly different words and slang, just how English is different depending on the country that you're in.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really fun. Plus also easy to come back to the States and travel where I'd like to here. So that's kind of the benefit of that. But if I were to push myself and really to just fully immerse, would be somewhere in France to kind of get back that fluency I used to have, and or Germany. I would really like to learn German and to really learn a new language. So because I do enjoy learning languages, and I can pick up things pretty well. And right now it's just having the time. Yeah. Sometimes Duolingo shouts at me going, "Hey, don't forget your lesson." Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm trying, I'm getting there. But yes, as you can tell, both Christine are already preparing for 2025's trip. Yes. So we will keep you updated on our progress in both the language and our planning.
I will say I am pleasantly surprised at how, when I started practicing Italian again, how much came back to me from, mm-hmm. I mean, I studied it for six to 8 years, and picking it up again, I'm pleasantly surprised. And I feel like, you know, I was always very timid with speaking, but, you know, at my current job, I'm surrounded by people who speak Italian, who speak Spanish and English. So it's really a wonderful environment to immerse myself in all three of those mm-hmm. languages. I will say, like, I don't know if others will agree with me on this, but I feel like because English is my first language, it's made learning other languages difficult, because English is so different. Like, there's so many exceptions to the rule when it comes to English, and well, at least when it comes to the Romance languages, I feel like if you were a native Spanish speaker, maybe picking up Italian would be simpler. But I could be wrong, and correct me if I am wrong. But
I think what the Romance languages are French, Italian, Spanish. I think Romanian's also classified as a Romance language, and Catalan. I think that's it. It's the what they speak in the Catalonian region of Spain. So it's a mix of Spanish and French. Mm. So I'd love to learn that. But you're so right. I think English can be a difficult language to learn, because every rule that we have, many others break it. You know, it's like, I'm thinking of like all the silly rules of, you know, I before E, except after C, except for in a bunch of these words. Yeah. And so there's just a little inconsistency. But I think that really has to do with, for lack of a better term, English is a very bastardized language of so many others. It's like we chop up parts of German and parts of Latin, and then there's French. And, you know, so it's just an amalgamation of different things that kind of worked weirdly together.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it has totally worked. So, you know.
Oh, fun fact before we leave our topic on languages. So the other day, this past week, practicing my Italian, you know, they're slowly introducing different countries or different cities in Italian. I learned mm-hmm. what German is in Italian.
Okay. Can I say what it is in French?
Sure.
And see if it's anywhere close? Okay, so Germany in French is Allemagne. Mm. Is it any close to Italian? No, it's a bit different. Okay.
So for example, German came up, Switzerland's come up, London has come up, like Okay, Londra is London in Italian. Svizzera is Switzerland in Italian.
I like that.
Tedesco is German.
Tedesco. Yeah. I'm sorry, isn't... Why do I feel like Tedesco is a grocer?
Tesco. Tesco.
Wait, Tesco. Okay. I was like, that sounds vaguely familiar.
And I'm just going to double check that okay, I'm right. Yes. But I'm pretty sure that's correct. That German and Italian.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we don't call countries by the name that that country is called in its native language. I find that so interesting.
Yeah, Tedesco. Tedesco is German in Italian.
Which is, you learn something new every day.
That's so interesting. Yeah, because this week's lessons were around languages. So Svizzera, Tedesco, German.
Oh, the language, yeah, not necessarily.
Correct.
The
languages.
Okay. Gotcha. Sorry.
Clarifying that.
So then what's the country called?
Let's see. It might be Germany. Germania to Italian.
Interesting.
Germania.
Germania. But cool. German, the German language is Tedesco.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That would not be intuitively what I would have gone for.
No, same. Anyway.
So now that we've gone on that fun little rabbit hole of languages and what we would learn if we were to move to a different country, do you have any last thoughts on the topic of moving abroad if we were to do that?
I think, you know, one, thinking about how I would support, like, what sort of job I would take abroad or how I'd support myself, I've had many interests, and my background is sort of, I have education in the sound production and editing world, but a lot of my professional experience since college has been in the events world, like large-scale events, and I have, you know, these interests in like hospitality and interior design. So if I were to think about what sort of job I would want to have abroad, it might be in the hospitality sphere. Mm. I don't know. Have you thought about that at all, Alexandra? Like what sort of work would you do abroad? Because I think like the idea of living abroad is appealing, but you know, like mm-hmm. Because I was really considering, like, oh, if I were going to do this, how would I support myself? What would I do? So I was wondering if you thought about it.
I find it hard to answer that question. A lot of, as you said, professional experiences in higher education, which I don't know that I would want to stay in if I were to move abroad. I enjoy business. So something within that sphere, maybe marketing would be kind of interesting. But I don't know that we've really talked about it on this podcast, but I'm really trying to pursue my own business. So it would definitely involve being fluent, if not almost like a native speaker in another language, to do that kind of work somewhere else. So I don't know. Potential for the future. Yeah, we'll see. I'll keep you updated on my fluency and threat.
But those listening, have you thought about moving abroad and living mm-hmm. and working? If so, have you done it, or what's holding you back, or have you thought about how would you make that happen for yourself? Because would love some advice.
And if you haven't done it, what can you share with us your experiences so that others who are interested can also learn from what you've done? I'd love to see that kind of, again, creating that community who is supportive of each other and helpful in any aspect from whatever we've talked about.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Alrighty. Well, as we wrap up today's episode, we've journeyed through tales of wanderlust, shared memories of past adventures, and dreamed of destinations yet to be explored. From insider travel tips to exhilarating prospects of living abroad, our conversation has been a passport to new perspectives. Remember, whether you're exploring the cobblestone streets of a historic city or hiking through the wilderness of a far-off land, each journey holds the promise of discovery and growth. So, as you embark on your next adventure, may your travels be filled with unforgettable moments and enriching experiences. Thank you for joining us on this expedition through the world of travel. Until next time, keep exploring, stay curious, and let the journey continue. Chat soon!
Enjoying the conversations we're having and the topics we're discussing? Consider supporting us through our Buy Us a Coffee page. We greatly appreciate any help in creating this podcast we love so much. Link in our show notes and Linktree. Before we end, Don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platforms. And we'll catch you next time.